Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We know next year's team will be different.
Yes.
But what do you hope carries over in terms of process, in terms of culture and everything that's been?
Yeah, a lot. A lot. And when you start off something, you don't tack it on at the end of the season, you know, whether that's culture or standards, or they're closely related. And this team has created that. And so how do you take it from one space and notch it up and level it up again? But there will be a lot of standards of the way we go through things, of practice and, you know, preparing of all that. So there's a lot to take away from it. There's playoff experience. There's a lot. I'm not there yet to have the reflection time.
I was in that press conference yesterday at the Link. Dan Quinn didn't really want to talk much about the journey or about the offseason ahead, understandably, after giving up 55 and being eliminated. But today he's going to have to answer a lot of those questions about some of the plans moving forward. And he's talking at 5, and we'll have that press conference live right here on Grant and Danny coming up in about 2.5 hours. Adam Peters is also going to take part in that presser and talk about some of their plans, who may come back, who may not. So we'll be diving deep into that coming up at 5 o'clock, which means our normal appointment with Jay is moved. Jay Gruden's on every Monday at 5. Today he's going to be on at 4:30 so that we can listen into that presser live. So we'll be busy with Jay Gruden 2 hours from now, and then those pressers with Peters and Quinn at about 5 o'clock on Grant and Danny. For me, as we welcome people back into G&D, Danny, I understand that they got exposed yesterday as being hotter than they were good, and that the game, losing by over 30, was indicative of them not being on the same level as the Eagles from a talent standpoint. Giving up 55 is embarrassing, but I can't really find any embarrassment. It is shameful to have allowed more points than any team ever has in a championship game. And yet, I don't have any shame today.
Yeah, I'd be embarrassed to give up 55 points in week 4, not in the NFC title game. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot less embarrassing to me.
I acknowledge it's a bad loss. Mm-hmm. It's a crappy performance. It's a dud. But I'd rather have gone on the unlikely ride to accidentally play in the game, which is basically what happened, and have to cope with how they played. So I don't really have much shame or even sadness today. There's some of that in terms of disappointment that these opportunities are so rare and you've got to take advantage, and they didn't. But I'm on to the next, man. I mean, this was a tremendous year. They got the franchise quarterback they've been looking for. Let's rock and roll this offseason and try to get back to the postseason next year.
So my angle on it is I can fully write down my notes, all the different positive things, and you, I echo them. They're facts. That's correct. That's what happened. It was a wonderful ride. Mostly for me, it's because it was Philadelphia. If the Rams had won the game the week before and they lost to the Rams, I'd be bummed. It's a bummer to lose the NFC title game that close to a Super Bowl berth to make history. But it's because it's them, and it's because it's those fans and that place and that song, and they're the ones that set the record, and Saquon and all the sideline laughter and all the different shots, and Tom Brady feels like he's rooting for good execution for the, you know, for the Eagles down the stretch, and all the different weird calls, things I've never seen. Like, if you jump off sides again, we'll award them a touchdown when they're doing hard counts and stuff. Everything about it, it's so despicable, and I hate the Eagles so much. That's where my upset comes from. I'll be able to turn the page at some point this week, maybe a day or two from now, and we could talk about all the positives, which are correct, and I was there too, and I was echoing those, and I'm singing everyone's praises, but I think it's because it's them, and that's how it happened.
And yeah, we'll get to the phones. I want to hear from you guys on this at 800-636-1067 in just a moment. Just a couple of anecdotes from being at the stadium yesterday. I do want to say that I just think this organization is in such good hands overall. Watching the celebrations and the parties of the last couple of weeks on the road, you know, where celebrities are coming out of the woodwork to, you know, be in the locker room, and everyone is basically screaming and overjoyed and hugging and high-fiving, and there's happy tears, and it's just been this raucous and unbelievable environment. As you can imagine, yesterday after your season ends, and you were very confident going into the game, and then you get humbled a little bit, it was silent. I mean, it was one of the quietest, most downtrodden locker rooms I've ever been in. But every single player going into the locker room, off the field, coming through the tunnel, was greeted by Mitch Rales and Mark Hine, two of the minority owners, and got big hugs. And then they got inside the doors, and we could see Josh Harris was waiting inside the locker room, giving him a big hug. And Adam Peters would either shake their hand or do the bro hug thing or put his hand on their shoulder and kind of address each guy individually. Every one of them as they went into the locker room.
Yeah,
I just thought that was such a telling image of the way that the people at the top treat the players in this organization. And even Dan Quinn made it very clear in the press conference, because he was basically getting led, you can imagine, 7, 8, 9 different ways. Hey, talk about how amazing this year was. Talk about how, you know, you guys are going to be back here. This is the beginning, not the end. Give us the quote about how you're going to win the Super Bowl next year. You know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm overstating it.
No, but that's what everyone wants.
Exactly.
That's the quote, yeah.
And he just wouldn't play ball. And he basically said, and I loved this, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he said, like, I'm not going to go into that locker room and tell all those guys we're going to be back here and we're going to win this thing, because not everyone will be, and it's not fair to them. Like, this locker room will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
This brotherhood, as he calls it, like, all of these guys together are never going to be in this room. So let's acknowledge the work they put in this year. Let's tell them thank you. We're not going to talk about being back here. We're not going to talk about the next time we're going to finish, because it's not fair to the guy who's retiring or the guy whose contract is up. And yep. I kind of loved that angle too. But you could tell just the leadership. I mean, Terry McLaurin was going stall to stall when I was in the locker room and just hugging each guy and like having this like nose to nose whisper, like really powerful, clearly lifting some guys up that he felt like needed it, conversation with a bunch of dudes. And I just think they're in such a good place from a leadership standpoint, and with some of the people that are the most influential in that building right now. And I thought that was on display.
Yeah, the ownership part of it especially. I didn't know about the Harris thing, which you saw. There was plenty of video, of course, of Ein and Rails shaking everybody's hand. Not in a, I'm pissed off, how dare you kind of way. You know, like you think some of the tyrants of years past might have done that, but in a genuine appreciation type way. We know what you guys did, right? What you dudes got together starting in the springtime and did everything that was ever asked of you at every time, at every instance, to make it this far is remarkable. And that was a genuine thank you and heartfelt.